You know, when David asked me to bring the word, this was almost a month ago, I didn't really, you know, quite know what to think of that because, you know, I didn't ask him why. And as I was praying before the Lord about this, I said, "Well, Lord, why? You know, why me?" And he says, "Well, because I want everybody to see out there that if I can speak through you, I can speak through anybody." And what I'm hoping is that what the Lord has put on my heart in the last 30 days is just really going to be a confirmation, really, to what God is already doing in this church and already doing in each and every single person that is sitting here. If you can believe this, if you will seek the Lord in the next 30 days for purpose and destiny for your life and for this nation, this church is going to change like you will not believe. And the services are going to change like you will not believe. And your life is going to change like you will not believe. And you will have a greater sense of destiny and purpose for why you are here. So that's what I'm going to share my journey. Because I don't want to preach and I don't want to teach. I just want to share the journey that God has taken me on these past 30 days and the next 30 days. Because I'm joining in on this next 30 days with you all. Okay. On Wednesday, September the 16th, I was here with Doris and Carol, and we were worshiping the Lord. And the anointing of the Lord was so heavy and thick in this place, it felt like heavy like a blanket, but it was light in the spirit. And we began to worship, and we saw the oil of gladness. And so we were walking around the perimeter, worshiping. And I saw the gate of heaven open up and a bright light. The next day, I was worshiping the Lord. And I saw the Lord with a rod. And he had a righteous, angry indignation look as in his spirit, and he was shattering, smashing, demolishing pots. And I thought, Lord, you show the gates of heaven and how you're opening up yourself to us, you know, like Jacob, the dream that God gave Jacob. And the ladder up to heaven, from heaven down to earth. And the next thing I know, he's shattering pots. And I look and I see there's no more pots. And the Lord just looked at me. And I realized that I wasn't ready to receive what God was going to pour out from heaven to earth. Heaven and this earth and heaven and the earth that is to come. Because God has always, from the beginning of time, Genesis, read Genesis chapter 1 all the way to the last book, Revelations, and you will see the purpose of God has always been the same. His spirit was hovering on the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. But I wasn't ready to to receive all that God had, and so I began to repent. God, forgive me for being that old wineskin. I want to be that new wineskin. 2 days, okay, so that's the 17th. On September the 18th, a few of us, we went to Cross Point Church in La Mesa, and we heard an apostolic word from a man named Dutch Sheets. Many of you know him already. We used his book on intercession as a guide in our Bible study, women's Bible study. And walked into the church. Initially, I didn't want to go because I'd been feeling really sick and tired for a long time. And I said, I know, Lord, you want me there, so I'm going to go. And I walked into the church, and there were all these young people. Well, there were old and young, because I was there. Okay. And they were worshiping God with all their heart. Lynn, you were there? Leanne? Doris, too, right? No? Okay, Carol. Margie. And they're worshiping God with all their heart, and I didn't feel all that great, but I just, it was catching, you know, it reminded me of way back when, like I think I was 18 or 19 when I met David, the blessings, you know, how we used to come before the Lord in La Jolla and just worshiping God with all our heart and no reservations at all. And, you know, I remember being with Gary Hargrave back in those days on the street corners, if you can believe this. We were trying to save souls. You know, I started recalling all, you know, how we were just so alive for God, right? Okay, and so I saw this at Cross Point. And then, you know, Dutch Sheets, comes on the scene and he starts to speak about a dream. You know, and I want to go into this dream with you all. And I, how short for time are we? Can I just... Okay, all right. A dream for America. And so I've been listening to this CD for the last 30 days on the dream that God has for America. And I want to be a part of it, and I want to enter into it, and I want you all to enter into it. And so God's going to tell us how we can do that. When I woke up this morning, I said, okay, Lord, where I start? And he goes, just tell everybody how awesome I am. So I go online, and awesome, awesome, okay. Let me get the first 5 awesomes I see online. Okay. And this is no coincidence. If you Google awesome, Genesis 28 is the first, 17 is the first scripture. And this is about Jacob at Bethel and what God experienced, or what Jacob experiences at Bethel.
Wow.
Okay? Genesis 28:17. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Exodus 15:11. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory? Working wonders. Exodus 34:10. Then the Lord said, I'm making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I do, the Lord will do for you. Deuteronomy 4:34. Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by miraculous signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? Okay, Deuteronomy 7:21. Do not be terrified by them, for the Lord your God is among you. He's great and an awesome God. Now, this was confirmation to me of what I was to bring you, because as I was praying about what to bring to you, that's what God said. He's awesome, and it starts right from Genesis, when he was hovering, and he starts speaking. And if you read the first chapter of Genesis, what you're going to see is every single verse. And God said, and it was done, okay? And God said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals with each according to its kind. And it was so, and God saw that it was good. And you keep reading, and then you get to Genesis 1:31, and God saw all that he had made, and he said, it was very good. Okay, so now that God has established what he can do by a word and how easy he can do it, what is the problem? Why do we question God? When Satan comes to bring doubt and fear over what God has said about you, and you see how awesome he is, and you see what he's done, why do we doubt anything that God has said about us? Because God is in the earth, and he's speaking, and you know what? There are many, many voices out there right now. There's an apostolic and prophetic company that is speaking, and you need to know the voice of God, because there are many false apostles and prophets as well. And if you do not know the voice of God, if you do not know him, if you do not understand him and his ways, the Lord warns us that in these last days, the very elect could be deceived. So, how do you get to the place where you don't doubt God? You have to understand your purpose and your destiny. And there's only one way that that happens, and that is when you develop that relationship with him. And he comes to you, and he shows you who you are. He understands you. He made you. He knows what he wants. And he knows what he wants in you, but you need to know it. Matthew 11:25-28. This is a really beautiful scripture, because what it does for us, what did I say? Matthew 11:28. Hold on a second. Okay. Matthew 11:25-28. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you think about Jesus and you think about his purpose and his destiny and how fixed and focused he was on that and how much Satan tried to, you know, from the beginning, just kill that in the Lord and cause the doubt and cause the fear, everything that Satan had, he threw at him, but Jesus didn't budge, and Jesus didn't budge because Jesus knew the Father. He spent time with the Father. And when you look at the disciples and you look at how they walked and talked with Jesus, you realize that they didn't even know him. And when he was at Gethsemane and you know, needed them, they fled. They didn't understand who Jesus was. But Jesus, thank God, Jesus had the comfort of knowing that God understood him and what he was going through. And that's what you need in these days. We all do. We all need to know how much God loves each and every one of us. Because God has a purpose and a destiny for you, you need to know what that is. Because God is coming back for America. He's coming back for you. He's got purpose and destiny. And there's things that he wants you to do. And if you don't understand him, you know, you might miss it. And you don't want to miss it. Now, you've come too far now, okay, to miss what God wants to do in your life. And this is something that you do each day. I've been doing this for the past 30 days. I've just, you know, my husband's been so understanding, but I just eliminated every non-essential thing in my life for the last 30 days and just doing this one thing. Because every single day, whether I'm at work or at home, I mean, sometimes God says something and I just want to come out of my skin. Lord, what? How are you going to do this? You know, how are you going to bring America back to you? You know, the job just seems so overwhelming, you know. But not for God. He made it, right? And you know, in the last 30 days that I've been doing this, I've been, and I'm not going to say what exactly I was freed from. Some of the women know, but two demons in my life that I've been battling for years. Gone. Completely gone. No desire for it, no nothing. Just gone. Okay, how do you inherit the kingdom? You have to humble yourself like a little child. So here God has established how awesome he is, what he's done. Now he says, cultivate this relationship I want to have with you, because there's things I'm going to do with you here in the earth. How do you keep moving? How do you keep moving? You humble yourself like a little child, and you talk to him, and you have conversations with him, and you're honest in your heart about it. If there's things in your life that are holding you back, If there's sin in your life that is holding you back, because God is calling us to holiness and righteousness, you know, in these days, you're going to need power and authority from Jesus Christ to do the works of God, or Satan's just going to laugh at you. There'll be no power and no authority. But you can come to the Lord completely honest, like a little child to a father, and you can have those conversations with him. When you begin to have those conversations with the Lord, there's something that's going to happen to you. you're going to begin to just to repent, really, and cry out to God. And God is going to fill you. And that's what this nation needs. Because, let's read Revelation 2. Revelation 2:2. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the churches, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Dutch Sheets has a vision for America. And for the last year or so, he has been crying out to God for a means and a way for, he's calling it a Holy Ghost Woodstock, to happen. And it is absolutely amazing how God has brought confirmation to him through other apostolic and prophetic ministries with dreams and visions as to how this is going to happen. But it's supposed to happen in June 2010. Now, Woodstock, you know, was my generation. And Woodstock literally changed a generation, not for the good. But Dutch is seeing a Holy Ghost Woodstock. And I want to be a part of it. I kind of feel led to let some other people come up here and talk about that dream. Does anybody want to come up and talk about that dream? I brought CDs, by the way. I brought some, a couple. Go ahead.
I don't have a very good memory for detail, but Dutch was talking about the fact that we weren't going out and making disciples of the world, but they were going out and making disciples while we were resting comfortably in the churches. And the Holy Ghost Woodstock is going to defeat all the damage that was done by the first Woodstock. And when he got this vision of a Holy Ghost Woodstock, and he was conferring with other ministries, and they were getting pictures and confirmation, it would have to be a huge piece of property where thousands and thousands of people could come. There would have to be streams, and there would have to be ponds, The people would come in tents, they would come in RVs. We would book every hotel for 100 miles around and converge and spend, was it 5 days?
Yeah, he wants that.
Five days before the Lord. And then I went and talked to him afterwards, and I said, you're going to put this out over the airwaves for you, because churches who have a screen up or stadiums can tune in and experience the Holy Ghost wherever they are in the world, if they can't get there.
Yeah.
So he said, oh, yes, yes. the scripture was Isaiah 4:44?
Isaiah 44:4.
44:4.
So you want to turn to Isaiah 44:4?
You do it.
It's your Bible. Isaiah 44:4.
Oh, somebody find Isaiah 44:4.
I have
Oh, okay. Go ahead, read it.
It says, and I'm going back to part of 3. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants, and they will spring up among the grass like poplars by streams of water.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
yeah. Okay.
I remember this part. So they'll spring up like poplars. And this man came to ask for an appointment with Dutch Sheets. Well, Dutch Sheets doesn't take every appointment of everybody who comes to him because it's just too many. He just can't. But he took the appointment with this man. Just some lowly little man coming in, you know, off the street, says, I'm just supposed to get to know you. They told me that you're the man I need to know. And Dutch is like, I gave up my busy schedule for this, to get to know this person. So he was telling Dutch all about himself and his life. And then Dutch, he said, now you tell me what's going on with you. So Dutch has been eating and drinking this...
Chewing, he says. Chewing on this for a year.
And he's told him everything about this vision for the Holy Ghost Woodstock and the other confirmations that had come in scriptures and so on. And the man said, well, I think I have your place. And he said, where is it? Poplar Bluff, Missouri. And the scripture he had given Dutch Sheets had poplar trees by flowing streams. And he said, how big is it? It's 444 acres. And he described the land, and it was everything that they had all confirmed. The streams, the ponds.
There was something about the 44.
And he got the keys to the property. He got the keys to the property in June. It will be 44 years from the time that the guy who bought the property
was given to him.
Well,
this is what happened was he says, well, how did you come by this land? So the man said, well, when I was a young kid growing up, I saw this property here close by, and I just fell in love with it. I just loved it. And then eventually the people that owned it passed away, so it was up for auction. So he went to bid on the property, and the other bidders there couldn't speak.
They couldn't bid on the property. Every time they went to bid on the property, they felt they were going to have a heart attack.
So he got this property for $28,000.
No, $17,000.
Oh, sorry, $17,000.
Yeah.
And then he said, how, you know, it was a small piece. And he says, well, how'd you get the rest? He says, well, over the years, when properties have been coming available, I've been buying them. And my wife keeps asking me, why are you buying this land? He said, I don't know. God's going to need it. So for all, how many years was it? Like, I don't know.
Next June it'll be 44 years.
44 years. He's been buying up these properties, and every time his wife asks, why are you buying this one?
I don't know. Need of it.
God's going to need it. I don't know. God's going to need it. And then...
And the address of the barn, the first barn that you would see driving up is 444. So you'd have to be an atheist not to believe that God is confirming to this man that this thing is going to happen. And what he thinks is going to happen is that this is going to give our younger generation a sense of purpose and destiny. Because I'm going to tell you something about these kids. Okay, that you see here. God is raising up a Josiah generation. You know, Josiah was only 8 years old when he started to rule and reign as king. And he came from a non-religious background. His father and his grandfather and all, they had polluted the altar, the original altar that God gave to Jacob at Bethel. A wicked king comes on the scene and he pollutes the altar, and Josiah, who starts to rule and reign at 8 years of age, comes on the scene and completely restores the altar back to God. Okay? These kids have had every sort of stimulation that is out there. You can't stimulate these young guys or these young women anymore with, you know, words. Okay? It's going to take the power and of the Holy Spirit to come on this generation of young people converging with the old, because there's wisdom in the old where we have walked, we have seasoned, there's wisdom, we've gone through it, okay? We're not going to try to put water on this fire of the Holy Spirit. We just want to be there to guide and to give wisdom. And you know what? I want to be a part of it. We don't have to wait till 2010 for God to change us, change the church, change the nation. Because you weren't born in the United States of America for, you know, no good reason.
I just want to add in Isaiah 44, some of the other verses.
Yeah, 3 and 4.
For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. And then it's, they will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. One will say, I belong to the Lord. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Still another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and will take the name Israel.
So, what do you all think? Can we do this 30-day thing together? Can you support, you know, your husbands and your wives and your teens, can you support your parents in this too? Can we really seek the Lord together for the next 30 days and just get rid of every non-essential thing? And let's just see how God's going to change this church and change us? You want to take over, David? Because there's other people, and I want you to take over from here.
I was just reminded that Spirit, when there was a prisoners in captivity in the Middle East that wouldn't be released until Reagan was made president, and it was 444 days when they were released. And the Spirit was saying at that time, because we're in this huge battle between dark good and evil, and it's two-thirds of 666, we're two-thirds of the way through that battle in those days. So we're even closer now to victory.
Amen. All right, let's all stand together, could we? I want to stop at this point. I know others can speak, but let's just hold what we've got. I want to thank Deborah and Margie both for sharing the word this morning. We believe together kind of a wake-up out of just the mentality of just kind of going on business as usual. And I think that was coming through very strong in the spirit. As we look at this time, this 30 days, this season, we relate to the Lord in a very intentional way. As children, we're open for God to mold the vessel of who we are the way He wants it to go. Father, we open our hearts to what Your Spirit is speaking right now. Awaken us from any religious slumber.
Amen.
We're not here to play church. We're not here to drift with our rituals. Lord, we're in a season where Your voice is bringing change. We want to be new wineskins. We want the changes in our life right now, each day, that we can flow with what You're doing in the earth. All of us are going to have to let go of mental expectations that we've had that don't fit with what Your Spirit is doing. Everyone has to change. And like in Revelation, when John heard the voice, he had to turn to the voice. We're all going to have to turn and repent and let go if we're going to be related to, connected to, and one with what Your voice is speaking. So Lord, we take this word this morning. Let it become a fire within our hearts. And during this time, help us to pay attention to You in a wholehearted way, where Your Holy Spirit is free to move in our lives and bring the changes You want to bring. Everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're dismissed.